There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is me.
You're funny, scumbag. Get on your face and give me 25.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of 50 Days of Dragon Con, the peanut butter and jelly of Dragon Con podcasts. And Lee is still out on vacation, so it's still Friends Week. And joining me tonight, the Starsky to my Hutch, JJ.
Howdy.
Hey, at least I didn't say Huggy Bear, right?
Well, this way we get the cool car and we're not at odds.
Right. So those that don't know JJ is one of the purveyors, owners. I don't know what your status is over there. But for the website of Doom, that's like much like the Unique Geek, the website of Doom. And I'm sure that he's as ticked off at the guy that's sitting on website of Doom as I am at the guy that's sitting on Unique Geek. But anyway.
And not doing a dang thing with it.
Right, exactly. In both cases, neither. How you been, JJ?
I'm okay. I have recently changed jobs and much happier in life.
Wow, really? Oh yeah, that's right. I do remember this. And the new job is better for your psyche?
It is, and it is what allowed me to say, hey, I am taking time off in early September and going to Atlanta and attending Dragon Con.
Now, that's interesting because you literally started the job like 3 weeks ago, maybe?
About that, yeah.
And you just went ahead and said, yep, I'm going to be gone Labor Day weekend.
Yep.
Well, that must be a pretty cool job then.
Well, it was one of those things where I figure right when you're getting started, you just... You know, you go, oh, well, I've already got this trip planned, so I just, you know, have to do it.
Yeah, well, cool. So now we started recording a little earlier and got cut off, but the question I was asking you actually was,
okay.
When was your first Dragon Con? How many times have you attended Dragon Con?
Oh, boy. Jason ends up going, my friend Jason ends up going every other year. He's been 3 years, so I guess 5 years.
Oh, cool. So,
but I didn't go last year, so I guess it would have been 6 years ago.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. All right. I didn't realize that you'd been 5 years straight. Actually, I thought you had missed a couple in between there as well. So we met, by the way, for the listeners, JJ and I met through Aaron, another, the Irish friend of ours. The one ethnic friend that either of us have. That's not true. I guess what is it that Aaron does over there at the website of Doom? And what do you do over there at the website of Doom?
Well, my primary thing over there at the website of Doom is I am the host of Mars Needs Podcasts, which is a podcast I've been doing now for about 300 and some odd episodes.
Yeah. I think you're at like 310 last I looked.
Yeah. So that's the main thing I do. I used to be religiously weekly, and then the job that I mentioned earlier got really bad, and I started losing focus, and so I lost track on that the last couple of months. But Aaron and I do a podcast once a month called The Drive-In of Doom, where we look at movies based on comic books and do. I guess you could call them movie-length podcasts. They're kind of commentaries, but you know, in the fact that we are watching the film as we do a podcast over it. But by the same token, we know damned well that most people are not watching the movie when they listen to it.
Yeah, that's probably very accurate. Now, I guess the Riff Track guys, though, and that's a slightly different thing, right? Because they do something along those lines, but it's actually.
I think
scripted jazz. So
yeah, what they do takes a lot more prep, and I respect that. What we do you know, we both will watch the movie once or twice before we will we'll comment on it. And basically, he comes at it at, I mean, we're both comic fans. He comes at it at this perspective as someone who studied filmmaking, and I come at it at the perspective of someone who has been acting since he was in diapers.
And sane, right? You come at it as a person who is sane.
Yes.
Now, when you head to Dragon Con, what is your, let me ask you, what is your day like? What is your weekend like? Do you have a certain set plan, or is it all just from the hip?
Well, I have gotten lucky enough that I have fallen in with a fun group of people, you guys included, that allow me to participate a little bit. And I enjoy the participation, but it also means that I kind of approach Dragon Con as a, hey, let's see what I have time to fit in. Mm-hmm. So, I will fit in any panel. I am really stammering today. I got to work on that.
No worries.
But I fit in, you know, anybody who wants me to talk about any subject that I have anything at all that I feel I can talk about, I will do that. I really love going to the little panels and people watching. I very rarely make it to big panels. Every year you see the, like, oh, wow, I'd really like to meet Patrick Stewart. And that never happens.
No.
My favorite moments at Dragon Con are usually like walking from one thing to another. It's where I got like a high five from Kevin Sorbo once when I was just waving.
Oh, wow. That's really cool. Any other interactions with guests like that?
I think the coolest interaction I have had so far with anyone flat out was, Mark Singer. Mm. Most people will probably think of him as either Beastmaster or V.
Right.
If you're a theater nerd like me, he did an amazing version of that play that Taming of the Shrew.
Oh,
that, yeah. Is absolutely amazing. And so I was
really?
Actually,
I wouldn't picture him as what part was he playing?
Petruchio.
He had the lead.
Yeah, and he's amazing in it.
Really, I would not think, because, I mean, let's be serious. Beastmaster and V, not exactly...
Yeah.
Not exactly Oscar-worthy.
Well, and they actually go back and treat it. They don't go full Commedia dell'arte, but they do it in the style of Commedia dell'arte, where everything is very... it's very, very, very rhythmic. There's a drum at certain points. The physical comedy is hilarious, and he is so strong that he takes Kate and just throws her every which way. Mm. His comic timing is absolutely brilliant. And he is one of the friendliest people I've ever come across at Dragon Con. And the fact that, I don't like the nickname, the Walk of Shame, because I believe that if you have ever done anything that makes you, worthwhile, that people would want to meet you, then you should be proud of it. And just because someone's not working at the moment doesn't mean they won't work again. So I kind of hate that nickname. But at the Walk of Fame, where he was signing autographs, he had no line. But anybody who made eye contact with him, he called him over, said hi, shook their hands, and talked to me about Shakespeare way longer than he should have.
Cool. There's been, I think we talked to Serve the other day, and he was talking about how he had met Michael Dorn. And because he actually talked to Michael Dorn about Chips, because that's where, let's be honest, Serve's not really a Star Trek guy,
right,
but he is a Chips fan. And he reminded him, hey, yeah, I really liked you guys. I liked your job on Chips, or your... whatever. And Michael Dorn was just so taken aback, A, that anybody would remember Chips, but B, that somebody would talk to him about it there at Dragon Con, that he wound up talking to him for quite some time about Chips and being on the set and all the other jazz. So, it's pretty cool. So now let me ask you, if this was your first year, well, let's think back to your first year. What did you do or not do that you wish you had done or did not do?
That's a good question. The thing that I didn't do, is I tend to be a very, quiet, shy person. Not that people would realize that. And, so I didn't, I knew names of people, but I didn't put myself out there. So that's, you know, it's weird. It's more about taking the opportunity to make friends. And I don't think I did that until like the second or third year I was at Dragon Con, which is probably why you thought I didn't attend every year.
That's probably true.
Cause if I have given the chance to slink into the background, I will do that in a heartbeat. But as far as Dragon Con itself, you know, it's anytime you go, you're constantly regretting that you can't do something else because you only have one ability to be at any place at any given time. So I guess the big thing to do, and I hate to sound like Lee, but the big thing to do is just make sure that you take time to just stop for a minute and sleep, mm-hmm. and sober up a little.
Yeah, didn't you have one year where you were like in a room with like 16 different people?
That's been the most years, actually. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't realize that. Isn't it true that you're also homeless? No, just kidding. you really just go to Dragon Con to actually get some shoulder? No. So have you had a chance to look at any of the guests this year that are coming?
The one that I have a recurring...
Nightmare?
Recurring, yes. It's not really a joke, I guess, but I have a recurring theme that every year I tell Lee that I'm going to force her to introduce me to Eddie McClintock because I love him a lot. Mm-hmm. Or McClintock, I guess is how it's pronounced. But
he's Canadian, right? Who cares?
Yeah, but I adore his character on Warehouse 13, so every year I like, oh yeah, this is the year I'll meet him, and I never do. But the big one that I am excited about this year, big in quotes, is Big Bird.
Oh yeah.
I not only is that something that I'm looking forward to, but he actually, I have a friend who I worked with when I was in high school, who later went on to become one of the Sesame Street Muppets. And I haven't seen him since I was in school. And, so I would love to be able to go up to Carol Spinney and go, "Hey, you and I, we both know Bruce."
Oh, really?
Yeah. My friend is, Barkley the dog.
That's crazy.
And he's been Barkley the dog for, I think he took over the role in like 1990.
Wow.
Yeah.
That costume must smell wonderful by now.
Yeah, he was, I'm sure, but he was told that he got cast because they asked him to be a dog, and they, even though he had never done any puppetry, and so when Frank Oz gave him the costume, he said, "We can teach anyone to operate a costume, but not everyone can be a dog."
Oh, that's really cool. And Frank Oz gave him his costume. That's true, too, because then you would know Frank Oz. Man.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Oh man. So, is there any place that you're vegetarian, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is there, so for those folks that are vegetarians, how is it eating at Dragon Con? Where do you, like to get your substance?
Well, I like everybody else. I hit the food court at Peachtree Center and, you can survive, you know, it's not necessarily the healthiest food, but you know, there's Subway actually had that Subway last time I was there actually had Garden Burger subs. So that was nice.
Oh, really?
And I think there's a burrito place there that is OK.
I think are you thinking of Moe's?
Yeah, I couldn't remember the name. Yeah. Thank you. And, you know, you can do OK at Moe's. Unfortunately, the really great cheap pizza place that I adored closed. It was the one that was right next to the Hooters.
I didn't even know there was one over there.
It was. And like a large pizza was like 10 bucks. So you could feed your entire room for next to nothing.
That's probably why they're closed.
Yeah. It was awesome. Even though they did once give me a bacon calzone instead of a black olive calzone.
Now, did you eat it before you realized?
So.
And then were you tempted to go back to bacon?
Here's the thing about me and vegetarianism is I just don't like to make a big deal out about it very often. If I could, you know, back to that whole like going into the background if possible. I think that that whole, like, that joke, like, how do you know if someone's a vegetarian? Don't worry, they'll tell you. I agree with that. And so I took it back to the room with a bunch of people, took a bite out of it, and almost harfed. And I hated making that big a deal out of it. And having to go back and telling them they messed up was mortifying for me. But no, I would not go back because I actually, even when I ate meat, I never was a bacon fan.
What?
It tastes like chemicals. I just don't get it.
What? You're eating the wrong bacon. You're definitely eating the wrong bacon. Now, to that point, my daughter recently has turned vegetarian, so... So it's been interesting here at my house. You learn to cook a lot of different new and different things. So
how long has she been doing it now?
I don't know, 6 months now, I guess, maybe.
Oh, cool. Good for her.
So there's a farm at her high school and they have a veterinary, thing there. I think that's what pushed her over the edge. 'Cause her friend, you know, works. So she's not in the vet program or anything, but it's a regular high school. They just happen to have these different specialized things, and you know, her friend I think is a vegetarian because she's in love with animals, and so she went down that route too. You know, so hey, more power to her. As my wife said, if this is the most rebellion we're going to get out of her in her teenage years.
Yeah, really.
More power to us.
She could get a tattoo and a girlfriend. So
well, that's true. Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't mind that either, but you know, at least I know she wouldn't be getting pregnant. So that's the
that's true.
Anyway, hey, this is way down the personal
Dragon
path.
Con.
Yes, Dragon Con. Those things. So, is there anything that you absolutely have to do when you're at Dragon Con, or even just when you're in Atlanta for that weekend?
Geez, you know, I don't feel like I've ever really gotten a great chance to know Atlanta. So I don't know that there's anything there. I mean, there's things that I always say that I'm going to do, not this year because I'm barely flying in and out for the con because the aforementioned new job. But I always tell myself that I'm going to like go to the World of Coke sometime, and I never do. And I just even going around to the CNN park or whatever, and I never do any of that. So it's more like things that I say I'm going to do and I never do. And as far as Dragon Con, it seems like the one thing that I always thought was going to be something I did, you just informed me isn't happening this year. It seemed like my only tradition was the Lost panel.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not even sure that... Okay, so here's the deal. Myself, JJ, and Aaron, for the last 4 years?
Something like that.
Have hosted a Lost panel, which is sort of insane to us because it's always filled.
Yeah.
And we don't know why. Because not that we don't like Lost. We do. Obviously, otherwise, why would we be doing a panel? But that it's still people, enough people care to fill the X-Track room. And typically they're waiting in line to get into the room. So I don't,
yeah. And filled to capacity every single time.
It's strange and weird to us, but for whatever reason, I got my schedule, because of, my, cause I'm an attending professional in quotes. And so they sent me my schedule and I noticed that the Lost panel wasn't on there. And so I sent an email over to Lee and I said, is there going to be a panel there? And the what she wrote back here, let me read for the listeners what she wrote back, because maybe someone out there knows, or maybe Lee is finally listening to this and can, you know, call me and tell me what the hell she meant. Of course, now I got to find it. Yep. That's going to be the problem. Hey, vamp for me.
And then, I don't know if we're doing a solve this year, but that would be fun too.
We are.
That's another. Okay, because that's another thing I look forward to.
That will be on Friday.
Oh, ooh, right off the bat.
Right. So I can, you know, feel horrible the entire Dragon Con. Anyway, so the question I asked Lee in email was, will there be panels for Lost and Fringe? I don't have anything on my tentative schedule. Note that I said tentative Everything is tentative at Dragon Con until you're sitting in the seat and it's actually going on. Aaron wanted to... Okay, so here's Lee's response. Aaron wanted to do a Duff Lost panel. And she's doing a thing for Noble, for Fringe, so you know that she can't... she doesn't have any more time to cover it. But the question I have is, does anybody out there know what a Duff Lost panel is?
We looked up, and Irish slang means Duff is pregnant. So
I'm not sure, you know, only pregnant folks are allowed in.
We're going to have a lost baby.
You know what? There was one, wasn't there?
Oh, yeah, there was.
I almost completely forgot.
That's how well we watched the show.
No, well, here's the kicker. I actually started, I was rewatching it again. This will be my third and a half time because I didn't quite get through the third time. With my daughter, my aforementioned daughter, this time. And so I'm going through that and I'm hammering through Fringe as well, trying to get caught up on Fringe. And then I find out neither of these things are happening. But I do find out, I do then go ahead and find out that I am on a panel for Gravity Falls. So go figure.
Cartoon?
The cartoon, yes.
Excellent. The
cartoon Gravity Falls.
I love that show.
Oh, I love it too. Well, it takes place out there in your part of the woods. Yeah. Literally.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's going to be a weird year. Yeah, so in case you didn't know, JJ, we're just going to go ahead and everyone just, you know, do whatever you're doing. JJ and I are going to discuss our schedules right now.
Sweet.
Where's that updates? Here it is. The Solve This is on at Friday, tentatively, Friday at 2:30.
So this is where you people should mark your schedules, because that's one you want to go to.
And it's in the Regency 5 in the Hyatt. So that's actually where we, if I remember correctly, that's where we had the Fun Fest last year.
Okay.
And the Fun Fest is again returning on Saturday night at 8:30. And the Regency 5 again. It says the length says 2.5 hours. Whew. Usually it's about three, right?
So, yeah.
Those are the two things that I know that JJ will be on. Well, of course, there's also Make the Bad Men Stop, which is Friday at 1. So we go from Make the Bad Men Stop right over to Solve This. And are they in the same hotel? No, of course they aren't. Why would they be?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So anyway, that's the schedule. For those that don't know or haven't been to a Solve This, JJ, you want to explain it?
Solve This is a sort of roundtable game show-ish style show where Widge from needcoffee.com provides us with issues that need to be solved, and we come up with the most creative and hopefully useful solutions off the top of our heads that we can.
Yeah, that's basically it. And if you aren't being distracted by the horrible sound in the room, it's sometimes funny. Oh, you weren't there last year, were you?
No, I missed all
that. Oh, okay. Well, there's lots of things about that. But for me particularly, the sound in the room was driving me nuts because everything was, all the mics were hot. I mean, way hot.
Oh, wow.
And so, you know, doing this as you do, you kind of get used to trying to make your sound as good as you can, given the technology that we have and the money that we have. You try to make it as good as you can, but I'm sitting there the whole time. I'm just thinking, could someone just turn down the microphone just a little bit? Because it was peaking the entire time. Oh. It was driving me nuts. And on top of that, I also didn't catch. This is a thing that's been bugging me for a year. let me, because I don't know if you heard this, because I don't think there's any recording of this, and it very well might be it was the one time where I'm just sitting on stage and everyone's staring at me and I have absolutely no idea what the hell is going on. It was the problem that was posed to me by Widge was, how did he phrase it? Oh, you find out, you find yourself in the jungle, they don't have what you need I forget what, anyway, she basically, it was the lyrics from Welcome to the Jungle.
Okay.
And I kept repeating them over and over and over again. I couldn't figure out what the hell he was asking me. And it drove me until then. Finally, I think Aaron saved me, or it was Scrimshaw, one of the two, saved me. And basically, I'm going to be frank with you. Those two saved that whole panel. And me, between me and listening to the getting annoyed by the audio, it, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, yeah. See, last year was the year I was.
That's
worried,
what you get for improv. That's what you get with improv, folks.
I was afraid that Scrimshaw would be so funny I wouldn't have a spot next year.
Yeah, I'm not sure. You know, and honestly, our friend Rox is also on the panel usually, but I don't think Rox is coming until Saturday this year. So.
Oh.
So there's definitely a seat. Woo-hoo. Even if Scrimshaw is there.
Scrimshaw.
Is he coming this year? Do you know?
I believe so. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I know he's coming because there's another thing that I am very interested in going to that I'm afraid might counteract with the Fun Fest, so I could be trying to run between rooms a little bit. But our friend Aaron is doing two nights of improv with Scrimshaw and Hal Lublin.
Okay. Yeah, they did it last year. I think I've given them those recordings. I know I gave them the audio. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was really good. That was really funny. So cool. They're doing two nights of it, really?
Well, because apparently I don't remember who was in what camp. Aaron, for all I know, Aaron told me this in confidence, so oops. But apparently there was a desire in the camp for some of them to continue doing short form, and some of them wanted to do long form.
Ugh.
And
I'm going to be honest with you, I hate long form.
Given the right, well, I love improv, so I was about to say, given the right constraints, long form can be excellent, but you know, with the wrong people and the wrong constraints, long form can be a root canal with no Novocaine.
Right. Well, because either and you know that pretty much right at the 5 minute mark, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. If it's not going anywhere, but now you're going to have to watch it for 25 more minutes.
Yeah. So. It can either be something that is amazing watching it come all together, or it can be just watching a bunch of people huffing their own farts.
I don't think I have ever heard that phrase before.
You're welcome.
Thank you. So you don't know much, but you don't know much about. I'm stammering tonight too. So there you go. You don't know much about Atlanta. You don't really hang out that much. When are you flying in this year?
So usually I like to fly in a little early. I believe the last time I was there, you were saying that like what Tuesday is the new Thursday.
I think it's like Monday now. Monday's the new Thursday.
I am flying in Thursday afternoon, and I'm flying out Monday afternoon.
Okay. You're not even staying the full to the end of the con?
I dislike the fact that I'm having to do that, but that is what I'm doing.
So Thursday night, will you be hitting up Trader Vic's or no?
Of course I will.
Okay.
I arrive at 2 in the afternoon, so I figure I have just enough time to get to the hotel, figure out exactly, you know, how to deal with the wages for the person who was nice enough to free up a room for me. And then head on out to Trader Vic's.
Yeah. Do you know if you have any roommates yet?
Not 100%. No, I have a couple of tentatives, including a teenager and a teenage boy.
What?
And a friend of mine who was mentioned earlier who comes every other year.
Oh,
who,
really? I thought that he was out.
He's supposed to be out, but he's debating on whether or not the con can be affordable. So if aforementioned teenage boy is in the room, it cuts the rate down on the room pretty good.
Right.
And then I might also, I have promised him I would do this, but I haven't done it yet. Rattle some friends of ours to see if there is a loose ticket floating around anywhere.
I know what you're talking about. Okay.
But so yeah, we'll see.
Did you shake one loose for yourself?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
I flat out, there was an luckily this year there was an email who sent to me and said, "Does anybody need a ticket?" And I said yes, and so I'm hoping that means I did.
You can just show up and I guess what? Go pay at the door rates.
That's you know, that's a very real possibility.
That would be a really sucky possibility. All right, so we've talked about a couple of things you hit. Do you do any of the? Do you head over to the dealer room, and if so, what are you looking for when you go there?
Well, I realized years ago that if I wanted to give gifts to people, mm-hmm. And I didn't want that, it was cheaper.
It was just hugs, right?
Yeah. Well, usually people insisted on, say, donuts and other things, and it was more expensive to check my luggage than to buy new shirts. So I have years and years and years of comic book t-shirts. Pretty much every t-shirt I own is from Dragon Con.
Ah, yeah. So you pull the same thing that Serve does. He only packs the shirt that he has to go in. And mm-hmm. then in this case, this year, because Seminoles, the Florida State Seminoles happen to be playing on Saturday, he has a Seminole shirt. But other than that, he shows up there and then he goes and buys the shirts from the dealers there.
Yeah, that's what I usually do. I don't know that I'll be doing it this year, but that's what I almost always do. And then I love to look at the dealer stuff. And then it also happens that my girlfriend's birthday is the second weekend in September, so I usually buy something for her. But I usually just ogle. And because I don't want to, I have a studio apartment, and I know I could fill it with dust gathering nerd hummels, nice. But I just don't. I just feel like that's not what I need to do. So I let Dragon Con store it for me, and then I go, "Hey, look at that really cool Jane hat," and then I let somebody else buy it.
Oh, look at the Jane hat going by.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So, but you do go around and peruse, though, right?
Oh, I love the dealer's room. I think that I judge a con by the size of the dealer's room.
Oh, really?
Well, there's some local ones here, and I feel like
it's not the size; it's the quality.
That's true.
That's what I like to try to tell myself.
But if I feel like if I go to a con. And I'm just waiting for something interesting to happen. And you peruse the dealer's room in like 5 minutes, and then you don't know what to do with the rest of your time. It's a poorly done con.
Yeah, and I may have been to one or two of those.
Yeah, yeah. I've been to several here in Portland. And so I feel like the dealer's room in at Dragon Con, well, especially now that it's moved, and it's usually a hunt to find everything. But
I think it's their ultimate goal for the dealers just to create an endless, you know, Mobius strip of dealers that you can never get out of.
Yeah, and this year we have comics professionals that are really cool.
Oh yeah,
which is incredibly exciting to me. I mean, not because we have now the funny thing is me saying Kelly Sudokonic and Matt Fraction is hilarious because they're from Portland.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I know that I've actually, and like Bendis isn't going, but I've accidentally bumped into Bendis at the grocery store before.
A fun fact. I've told people this before that, Kelly, her mom lives here. Cause I ran into her, Kim, Kim Tuffley.
From the Tuffleys.
Kim
from the Atlanta Tuffleys.
Tim of the Atlanta Tuffleys. Of the, you know, third generation Atlanta Tuffleys. Anyway, she had sent me an email telling me, because she's a huge Kelly Sue fan. And she sent me an email saying, "Hey, can you go get her to sign Captain Marvel?" I think is what she was doing at the time. And I said, sure. I wasn't reading Captain Marvel, but I said, "Oh, sure." And I showed up there, and I've told the story before, but there was one, maybe two people there total. And she was just there with her kid. And so I'm like, going, it's a really small comic book store. It wasn't really, you know, well stocked or anything like that, necessarily. But so I was talking to her, and she goes, "Oh yeah, yeah, I know my mom lives here." And so she came down, and her mom knew the mother of the guy who owns the comic book store or whatever. And as a favor, you know, she came in and did a signing, but there really wasn't anybody there. Her kids were just, her kid, well, she only had the one kid with her, was, running around the comic book store. Adorable little girl, if I remember correctly.
Or cross-dressing boy. That's fine.
Well, I think she has I think they have two. I think they have a boy and a girl. I just couldn't remember which one was there. Because she said one of them was with Matt. And one of them was with her. Well, obviously one of them was with her because I saw it. It was the creature running around the room. But no, she's very super friendly, super, super friendly, as most people are from Portland, which leads me to believe that they can't be trusted. But anyway, so yes, Kelly Sue and Matt are there. Yep. I know him on first name basis, by the way. Yeah. Actually, it's just because I can't pronounce her last name.
Well, I was planning on getting an Iron Fist tattoo earlier this year, but my tax return still hasn't arrived. So I won't be bugging Matt Fraction with my Iron Fist tattoo. Also, my favorite comic book artist ever is going to be at the con this year, and that's Arthur Adams.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I have not paid. I usually just wait for someone to tell me who's there. Because in the course of doing these podcasts, close to 50 of them, I learn who all is there and figure out what I'm going to do by just listening as I'm doing the interviewing. Cool.
I have been paying attention because, well, I just, you know, the day that I quit my job was the day that I decided I was going to Dragon Con, whether I could afford it or not. And so I have been trying to boost my decision to go by paying close attention to who's going to be there this year, as well as recently trying to convince said friend to go broke by enticing him, going, come on, Big Bird's going to be there. Kermit the Frog's going to be there. Arthur Adams is going to be there. Come on.
Yeah. I was just going back and looking at some of his artwork. Oh, he's got some really awesome stuff.
I took a comic book class here in Portland once, and it was taught by a woman by the name of, I was afraid her name wasn't going to arrive by the time I got to the end of that sentence. Anyway, really cool woman whose name will come to me in a minute, I'm sure. Dana Schutz, who is, she was a good friend of Eisner and was the ex-wife of Bob Schreck, who was an editor at DC, she was also the sister-in-law of Matt Wagner, who did Grendel and Mage. But she was a senior editor at Dark Horse Comics. And so one of the classes, she actually took us on a tour of Dark Horse in Milwaukee. And when I went into Mike Richardson's office, who is the guy who owns Dark Horse, his office was something that I think anyone who would ever want to go to Dragon Con could probably spend a week in looking at it. Just seeing like the right hand of doom from the first Hellboy movie, like on his desk as a paperweight. But anyway, the largest picture he had in his office was an Arthur Adams drawing of Godzilla. Well, a T-Rex, but it was a T-Rex that looked a little like Godzilla fighting King Kong in the woods. And it was breathtaking. It's the only time I've ever seen an original Arthur Adams. And it was just stunning.
That is okay. So you've never actually, that's the first time I've been up close to one. Cause I'm looking at these ones that are on the web. Oh, this is a freaking, oh, this is a really cool, what's the name? Cobra, the lady, black hair. Help me out. Baroness.
Cobra. Yeah.
Hey, if I would have looked 2 inches to the right, I would have seen the word on it that says, hey, Baroness. Baroness, fine art print by Arthur Adams.
His Godzilla and his Gumby are like two of the best things ever. So Jason and I were saying that if we could commission a piece of art of either
Godzilla, I'm looking at it right now,
of either Godzilla destroying Tokyo or like Godzilla taking the mask off and having a Gumby underneath it, it would be like the best. It'd be the best thing ever.
Wow, that Godzilla is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's so freaking detailed too. And there's this cool one here that I'm kind of getting distracted now. There's a really cool one. I think I just copied it. Maybe I'll just put it in the chat here for you to look at. Hey, look, Skype wants to update. Why not?
What a surprise.
Let's see. Did that come through? Yeah, there it is. Of,
ooh, Star Wars.
Star Wars, yeah.
Do-de-do-do-do-do-do-do. Hey, everybody. Yeah. Use Google.
Yeah, Google Arthur Adams and Star Wars.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Anyway, all right, so let's wrap up the conversation here. Any
oh,
tips?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry,
right?
It just came through. So it's if you look it up, people, it's from I would say it is Return of the Jedi era, and it is really stunning. I love his art so much.
What I can't figure out is, I guess it's just a random creature that's right next to 3PO. Not the translator or the
right, no, the big long faced guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't recognize him either. What's but really I cool? I'm not that kind of
and
Star
I really
Wars
like
fan.
And really honestly the look on Jabba's face is priceless.
Yeah.
It's very it's not anything like what he looked in the movie, but certainly is very devious looking. So
yes.
All right, any final tips for anybody?
Bring a water bottle. That's one of my favorite things about Dragon Con is it is the only con I've ever been to that has water in the back of almost every panel room. Mm-hmm. And so don't spend your time buying bottled water. It's stupid. Save your money. Buy beer later. And so just bring a bottle.
Yeah. All right. That's great news. That's great advice. Okay. So now we're going to ask you, we're going to go to this or that, which is our final thing that we've been doing lately for these podcasts. Okay. I'm going to give you two things and you just tell me right off the bat, you know, which one you prefer. So
okay.
We'll start off with Han or Chewie.
Oh, ouch. Chewie.
Pink Floyd or Pink?
Pink.
Game of Thrones or Monty Python?
Monty Python.
Star Trek or Star Wars?
Star Wars?
Question mark.
Sophie's Choice, you know, but yeah, Star Wars.
Cosplay or improv?
Improv.
Podcast track or science track?
I've never been to the podcast track. That's so sad. So I guess science track. I've actually seen things there.
Dealer room or game room?
Dealer.
Stout or IPA?
Stout.
Comics or comedians?
Comics.
Seattle or Atlanta?
Atlanta.
Trader Vic's or Trader Joe's?
Trader Joe's.
Fantastic Four or Alpha Flight?
Alpha Flight.
And that was the last of the questions. That was actually a debate for you. I actually would have gone Fantastic Four in a heartbeat. I'm not a big, you know, it's Canada. Come on.
Well, yeah, but Sasquatch and Puck, it's got a couple more interesting characters, and I think what it is I've read more Fantastic Four, which means I've read more bad Fantastic Four.
What is your hope for this movie coming out this weekend?
Tomorrow,
in fact, right?
Yeah, my hope
Hold on, let's
is,
go to Rotten Tomatoes. You start talking.
Yeah, everything I have read, of course, makes it sound really bad. I try not to be the voice of the internet, you know, talking about how something's going to suck a year before it happens. So I will decide it sucks after the credits end. But I really want to like it, but it really doesn't look like my Fantastic Four.
So here's the Rotten Tomato score so far. 9%.
Oy.
85 rotten, 8 fresh.
Did you happen to see the
most beautiful girl in the world?
the quasi spoiler that Widge posted on Facebook yesterday.
I saw it, but I didn't click on it.
Oh, it hurt. It hurt.
It yeah. It's interesting because it's got God, what the heck is that guy's name? Michael B. Jordan.
Right.
Who has been a lot of things that I've liked. Friday Night Lights, for example, mm-hmm. Parenthood. What he was in, wasn't he in this? He wasn't in the station, was he? Was it the station or Fruitvale Station?
Fruitvale Station. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was Fruitvale Station.
And he's going to play Creed later this year and I can't fucking wait.
It's crazy. Right. So then he gets sucked into this thing
and Miles
hey,
Teller.
Hey, things. Hey. Yeah. And Miles Teller too. Right. Yeah. You're right. It's,
it, even Mira Rooney. I haven't seen her in a hell of a lot, but, you know, she does good stuff. She was in House of Cards, which I haven't watched, but I hear is amazing. And then you've got Billy Elliot as the Thing.
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
Oh, dance, Billy Elliot Thing, dance.
Actually, I have Jamie Bell as the...
Yeah, he was Billy Elliot. Sorry, the movie Billy Elliot.
Oh, okay. You're right, okay.
Sorry.
I got it backwards.
I was being reductive.
Yeah, 9%. Oddly enough, Shaun the Sheep, 99%. So that's coming out at the same time.
I hope that it's...
And by the way, that's certified already. It's 94 fresh, 1 rotten. So Shaun the Big Sheep movie, Shaun the Sheep movie, I guess is what it's called, is going at 99%. Well, the thing that probably cost a crap ton more and had less artistic value is at 9.
Yeah. Well, at least everybody's excited about a Ryan Reynolds Deadpool trailer before it.
Oh my God. That was hilarious. I thought that was freaking genius, is the trailer to the trailer.
It was.
And even the trailer, of course, was great.
Everything they have done to market that movie looks absolutely perfect, which if you had said that to me a couple years ago, I would have laughed at you loudly.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know, I just saw the thing, and normally I would not keep talking about the thing.
Without pants.
Right. Without pants. Which we established elsewhere, that means that his, you know, junk is rock hard.
Gone.
Or gone, yes. Or rock hard. So the... yeah, I saw an interview with... Who's that guy that used to be on Saved by the Bell? Mario?
Okay, Mario Lopez.
Lopez, okay, thank you. I really knew, but I wanted to see... You know, I didn't want anybody to know that I knew.
Right.
It was on Facebook, and I clicked the link, and because it was an interview with Ryan Reynolds on the set of Deadpool. And damn, does that costume not look great on him.
It does.
Because he had the mask off, and, I mean, the thing looks great on him. The funny thing is, of course, because Ryan Reynolds, you know, I know him as well as a lot of people do from Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place originally, and I thought he was brilliant on there. Basically, he's been playing the same character since then, but he's obviously got the timing for Deadpool. But the thing Mario asked him, well, what are you going to do after you get done filming this? What's your next thing you're going to do after this? And he goes, eat. I'm going to eat.
That sounds like what Hugh Jackman's been saying.
Yeah, I mean, he goes, it's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be gourmet. It's going to be food. Just going to be eating. But yeah, no, that looks great. That looks freaking awesome. And they're doing it right. Now, of course, the last time I seemed to be as excited about this at this stage of the game was Snakes on a Plane. So, you know, there is that.
That movie delivered for me, though. There was a plane, and there was snakes, and there was cussing, and there was boobs.
Well, that's true. Ooh, I wonder if there's gonna be boobs in Deadpool.
Probably.
There doesn't.
They keep saying it's gonna be a hard R, and
I think they're getting the hard R just from the language and the violence.
That's true, but you know, pun intended, hard R.
Yeah.
And they did show you at least the hints of a fairly aggressive sex scene in the Red Band trailer.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And no green suit, so that's good.
Yeah, or no CGI. Cartoon green suit.
Anyway.
No Wesley Snipes, so let's cover every comic book movie he's done.
Oh, that's true. I completely forgot about that. Oh, that was 3, right? Blade 3?
Yeah.
Yeah. God, he's done a fair amount of comic book movies.
Well, he's got great timing, and
that's four that I know of off the top of the...
Yeah. Wait, I can think of 3. Well, this one would be 4. Yeah.
This one. Deadpool would be 4. X-Men Origins would be 4.
Yeah. Deadpool.
That was that line in the trailer beforehand from the studio that inexplicably sewed his mouth shut.
Oy vey.
Man. All right. Well, anyway, JJ, thank you for joining us. Thank you for filling in for Lee. You look adorable in that dress.
Thank you.
And
it was hard finding a Wonder Woman costume my size.
Well, Lee could find it for you. She knows all the best Wonder Woman shopping places. Lee, enjoy the rest of your vacation. I guess I will talk to you in a few days back here on the podcast. Until then, this is John for JJ saying until next time, peace.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 813-3210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons share alike non-commercial license.